Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. All right, and we're on the air. We're not doing the Mega Man show tonight, which I know broke Neil's heart, but I swear to God, we'll get to it this week, definitely. I can't suck that bad. But last week, we went to go see wrestling in Nashville, and the winner of the Crossfire Heavyweight Championship Tournament, King Shane Williams, is joining us tonight. And he is on, Neil. So go ahead and put him on.
Already did.
All right.
How you doing?
All right, man. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Yeah, I tell you, we went to that show. I live in Decatur, Alabama, which is about a 2-hour, 3-hour drive from Nashville.
It don't seem that longer because we had all that weather and stuff stopped us.
Yeah, it felt like God did not want us to get there because we ran into like a car accident, heavy rain.
I know the feeling. I actually just got back from Arkansas myself. Drove all the way across the state of Tennessee, and I think I saw every wreck imaginable.
Yeah, it's like, I honestly, I don't know how you do it, because I hate driving. It's like, I like going places, but I actually hate driving.
Well, hopefully with this big Crossfire boom, hopefully I won't be having to drive much longer. So.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'll be honest, we went to the show mainly for Bret Hart, and I mean, I'm not going to get into it here, but that ended up being disappointing with him. But you guys put on such a good card that I forgot about it.
Oh, really? Well, thank you very much. I know all the guys there at Crossfire really bust our butts trying to make an opportunity for ourselves right now. So, and with all the buzz going around right now, it's a great place to be, especially when you're holding the big gold belt like I am.
Let me ask you, so you started wrestling because I listened to another interview you did to get ready for this.
Yeah.
You've been wrestling about 10 years now?
Yeah, I've been traveling wrestling for about 10 years, altogether about 15. I made my, got my start wrestling right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, in a small town called Maryville, Tennessee, which is where I grew up at, and luckily, I don't know about that, but I ran into a guy that was teaching people how to wrestle out of the back of a pool hall, and you know what, luckily I met a lot more connections since then and persevered along the way, and I've really opened some doors here lately for myself.
Let me ask you, you grew up in Knoxville area, did you go to Smoky Mountain shows?
Oh, yeah. One of my fondest childhood memories is going with my folks and my great grandmother, who actually introduced me to professional wrestling. Her deal was she'd watch me when I was growing up on Fridays and Saturdays because both my parents worked, and the deal was I could watch as many cartoons as I wanted to. First thing though, she got to watch all of her wrestling. So occasionally, I would be able to talk my dad into taking us to the Civic Coliseum and watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling there. And a couple of my memories, though, I remember watching Nature Boy Buddy Landell come out to wrestle the Dirty White Boy and stuff, and Bullet Bob Armstrong. I grew up on all that.
All right, man, that's cool. Did you check out any USWA?
Yeah, I checked out some USWA. I was an okay fan, but I really since growing up over here in Knoxville, I didn't really get to see that much USWA at the time. Now, I did get to catch a lot of the AWA. When I started doing working alongside AWA, I was able to watch that and follow that when they were on ESPN back in the day, because that's my first time I ever came across that guy, Jerry Lawler, claiming to be the real heavyweight champion, because he had two belts and he had already beat both Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair at the time. So.
Yeah, that was when they were doing the whole thing with World Class.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been meaning to rewatch that. You mentioned when did you start? When did you become the king?
I became a king after I had a measly stunt, birthday stunt. I had a friend that I drove back, packed up all my belongings, drove back from Lubbock, Texas, where I'd given up on professional wrestling and was decided to pursue the health club industry. But my friend Rich Cavana harassed me enough to come home and talk me into wrestling with him some more, and I had a Halloween costume that happened to be an Elvis jumpsuit, and came out to, you know, the what's the song that Ric Flair comes out to, like a song like that, but
yeah,
like the Elvis.
Also, end up Santa Susha. I can't remember how he pronounced it either.
Yeah, but it was
Elvis.
I'll
probably remember it about an hour from now how to pronounce it.
But it was the same song that Elvis used to come out to wrestle. Oh, it's not to wrestle, to sing. And I came out to wrestle with that. And it was actually a joke. And a lot of people booed me. And it made my job a lot easier. So
okay,
I kind of just played around with it. And eventually I got to where I have it at today. But, of course, I'm a big I grew up as a big Andy Kaufman fan. I was never a Jerry Lawler fan. I loved watching Andy Kaufman. Just because I'm not a big guy, so it gave me hope that I could be a wrestler one day. So, and watching Andy Kaufman be able to be in the Mid-South Coliseum, sold out, that is, and be able to main event in a match with Jerry Lawler, and man, I'd like to be in that same position too, you know.
I remember back in the late 90s, you probably saw this. You remember that documentary they made on From Hollywood?
Oh, I own two copies of it and his Andy Kaufman's My Breakfast with Blassie. And,
I've not actually
course,
seen that one.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. He has his Andy Kaufman's favorite wrestler growing up was Classy Freddie Blassie. And he gets to have breakfast with him. The only problem is he doesn't smarten up Classy Freddie Blassie. He starts having, like, people come in the restaurant and mess with him. It's very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Okay, when did you get started with Crossfire Wrestling?
Crossfire, I just happened to be at the right place the right time. I used to travel with Chase Stevens, me and him, rode the roads together for several years after he was wasn't working for TNA anymore. He was a part of the Naturals, and he also now is working for Crossfire and tag team the Hot Shots. And
we met him the other night after the show.
Yeah, we I think probably the opportunity that landed me the job was me and Chase were actually booked to wrestle each other in Millersville, Tennessee, and Marcus Pastoris happened to actually be the referee that night. And I remember Marcus giving us the cue, and we went another 45 minutes. So hopefully I'm hoping that's what landed me a job with Crossfire, but you know, with the wrestling business, the majority of the time it's the happen to be at the right place at the right time with the right look. So who knows?
Yeah, that's just about life in general.
Oh yes, exactly. In the entertainment industry, I'm not blessed to be like 6'5" and 285 pounds. So you know, having to you know be at the right place at the right time in the entertainment industry, you know, definitely helps out a lot.
Well, I'll tell you, when you were wrestling Harry the other night, you know, the size difference didn't even seem noticeable.
Really? Well, thank you. Thank you. People have actually told me that before, so, you know, but I study my stuff. I've never had a wrestling contract, so, you know, if Crossfire, is the first company that I'm actually going to be signed to or whatever that may be, I take my professional wrestling is not a hobby to me. It is a job. And this is something I study left and right. I wasn't special enough to be born into the wrestling business. So I didn't get that kind of training or that kind of experience. And I didn't know anybody that could get me into the wrestling business. Every break I've had to do it myself. So I take it really seriously.
Well, you know, I noticed watching you carry yourself like one of those old school Memphis guys.
You know, one of my favorite wrestlers is Andy Kaufman. My other favorite wrestler of all time is the original Gorgeous George. And I watch footage of him, and I've read a couple books based on him and stuff. And I love the way he actually carries himself in and around the ring. So, but I also love my Memphis wrestling too. The movie, for any Memphis wrestling fan out there, the movie to see has to be Memphis Heat. I don't know if you all have ever seen that movie or not.
I haven't seen it yet. I've been meaning to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
It is a wonderful movie that shows Memphis wrestling from how it all began to the high points, the whole big, you know, Lawler Coughlin feud and everything like that. So, and then to the final days that closed. It's just a really good story with Jackie Fargo and everybody else included, Bill Dundee and Lawler, of course.
Have you ever had a run-in with Jerry Lawler? Because I know he's always been very protective of the, you know, the King gimmick. I remember there was a story he tried to sue the WWF in the late 80s.
Well, you know, the deal with Mr. Lawler is he carries a plastic crown and I don't. So, I don't know. You know, I really love, you know, one of my dreams was always to wrestle at the Nashville Fairgrounds in front of a sold-out house. That was one of my dreams, and I got to actually do that just a couple of weeks ago. And my next deal, I want to wrestle Jerry Lawler in Nashville, Tennessee, and the Nashville Fairgrounds in front of a sold-out crowd with Jackie Fargo sitting front row. Love
that. Well, I tell you, man, I'd make the drive again to see that.
that's my next accomplishment I'd like to do there. But you know, first things first, I got to make sure that I stay hold on to this belt first. I know CrossFire is going to be September 1st. I'm scheduled to wrestle Matt Hardy in McMinnville, Tennessee. So that should be a great night.
I've saw that you've wrestled, you know, over the years. Have you wrestled any of the guys that were like former, you know, that have been to the big time, like WWF? Have there been any that have tried to take advantage of you, or are they just generally cool?
I don't ever have a problem. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But normally, it's wrestling. I mean, that's the deal. It's not ballet, so you don't have to step up, you know, and you have to step up and get your own stuff. Nobody's going to hand it to you. I mean, that's just the wrestling business. We're both out there. The guys are out there to be a star and, you know, definitely want to try to step up and show everybody what you can do, especially when you're in front of a huge, huge crowd and trying to get maybe more work or notice or something like that. So, you know, it happens. It definitely happens, but it's nothing that I come back to the locker room going to cry about, you know.
How was it working with Brian Christopher in the first round?
Tough. I mean, it's hard going out there and open up the show, and I get to open up the show against Jerry Lawler's son. So I knew it was going to be a rough match. I knew it was going to be a hard one. I knew I was going to probably get flipped and flopped everywhere, but I knew if I just hung in there to the right second, then I might be able to, you know, opportunity might present itself, and of course it did. You know,
yeah, we bet him before the show, and the thing about it was, I didn't, you know, sometimes you don't recognize somebody from TV, and you think it's them, but my fear is always that if I go up to them and it's not them, they're going to think I'm an idiot.
Like, I was totally shocked. I tell you what freaked me out. What freaked me out the whole night, I'm on pins and needles about the whole experience itself, right? I had to get there early for interviews, right? And as soon as I walk back to the back, I run smack into gold dust. And I'm telling you, I'm scared of clowns as it is. And people with painted faces kind of freak me out sometimes, especially when they walk up on you and they're about like 6 foot four and you're not expecting them, you know?
Yeah, you know, the weirdest thing after the show was, you know, I'm out the back, you know, because I'm really wanting to meet Shane Douglas because I'm a huge ECW fan.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like my thing, you know, and I had my, like, my ECW belt I got because I know some people collect those replicas, but I can't afford that. But, you know, I just went excited. I'm waiting for somehow Dustin Rhodes got past everybody, and I'm thinking, how is a dude that big able to slip by that quietly?
Man, well, because he looks nothing like his gimmick whatsoever, his character that he does. So it's easy for him to slip out.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he did in 92.
Yeah, he can slip out. He was upstairs when I, after I came back through and came back down and shook my hand and had a baseball hat on, and I didn't barely recognize the guy. So.
Like Clark Kent. Just puts on the glasses. There you go. You can't tell.
Yeah, you know, you were the only guy I didn't get to meet the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got back to the back, and I was exhausted. And then I signed some autographs, and then I went and took the longest, hottest shower I could possibly take because I was nasty. I opened up the show, and then I had to close. You know, I wrestled the main event that night. And then, of course, it was not the coolest building that night either with that many people crammed in there. So I was exhausted, sweaty mess. I don't know how many bottles of water and pieces of cold pizza I ate in between that time, though. It was definitely a long night. But I remember afterwards, it didn't hit me until probably about 4 o'clock in the morning that, wow, I think that went really good because I'd just been going the entire day, nonstop, that entire day.
That's how I felt when I was leaving, you know, as far as a fan taking in the show. When I was leaving, I was thinking, you know, that was a damn good card of wrestling. And, I mean, I went to see WWE back in May, and they had a decent – I mean, they had one great match and one good one, but the rest of it was kind of filler. This was a very good show. I mean, I can't think of any matches that I thought, you know, well, that wasn't good.
Well, the cool thing about Crossfire is they deal nothing but with professionals. But everybody on the active, you know, Crossfire roster is professional. So they know how to go out there and be professional wrestlers. Well, you know, a lot of your shows you don't really have too much of that these days. And what's cool about being in my position is because I haven't been signed to a contract yet, and I'm still trying to make a name for myself. I get to work with these guys, and then I get to watch how these guys do it, and that's a learning experience. And the night is a learning experience and a great night. Anytime Crossfire runs a show, and I get to be a part of it.
Do you think you'll be wrestling Harry Smith again?
You know what? I hope so. I hope so because Harry Smith had a much easier first round than I did. I got crotched on the guardrail. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good at all.
No, I can't. I can imagine. Can't. I got hit in the football. I got hit in the football when I was 13.
Then I took the and that superplex that Harry Smith gave me, mercy. I didn't think I was ever coming down. I felt airborne forever. It was ridiculous. But it was a great match. I was really happy with it, and I've never got the opportunity to ever wrestle Harry Smith before.
Yeah, I was looking at that superplex, and I was telling somebody else, you know, you don't appreciate how brutal a superplex is until you see it in person.
Yeah, you do not, exactly. TV does not do that move justice. It does,
yeah,
doesn't
like,
do it. If you watch wrestling and you have not been to a live event, the moves just do not seem the same because the camera angle is kind of, you know, misconstrue some things, but that superplex, man, taking that move, there's at least 5 seconds of it. Just, it feels like just free fall, and you're just waiting, and then you're just waiting, and then boom, and then it feels like all your insides are shaking. It's a rough move for sure.
Yeah, well, I think my nephew met you after the show. He's 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did a bunch of pictures. They had a camera on me after I walked back through the curtain, wanting to know like what I had, you know, what I had to say and everything, and because they're going to be releasing a DVD, and I think I had them follow me to the shower. I put my head in the shower, cooled off, and then I grabbed the belt back up, and I turned around to it. Actually, it was my friend Justin. He had a booth there called WrestleTopia, and I told him. He goes, well, you know, I got the belt now, so now I had to go do the other job, which is, you know, I had to go do the pictures, and I had to do all the autographs and sign all the T-shirts and all that stuff. So
when does the DVD come out?
You know what? I'm pretty sure if they won't have it at the September 1st show, they'll definitely have it at that first TV taping. That's for sure.
Okay, that'll be November.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, because I'm definitely going to buy that.
Either that, or I'm sure that you could probably check out Crossfire's website, and they have a store on there. Probably be the quickest way to actually get into DVD.
Okay, because I really want to see your match with Harry Smith and the Goldust Kid Cash match, which that's honestly my match of the year right now.
Oh yeah, that was a great match. Kid Cash is a man. So I grew up here in East Tennessee. And some of my memories, of course, I'm wrestling in the Knoxville area, but I'd always go up to the Tri-Cities, and Kid Cash was the man up in the Tri-Cities. So, and then that's when he was working in ECW, and
yeah.
before he made his move to Nashville and stuff. But man, what a career he's had, and then being able to actually wrestle against Goldust too, man. Boy, they're throwing water everywhere. I mean, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I love to be able to see Goldust do the Bulldog in person.
Oh yeah, yeah, Goldust, man, that is a weird. I don't think TV does that guy justice either.
It doesn't. I remember I saw him in 1997 at a WWF show. Of course, I remember I was so mad about that show because they ended up changing the card at the last minute.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty cool. I heard that Bret Hart gave a seminar to the wrestlers earlier in the day. Is that true?
Yeah. There was about 25 guys that signed up to participate in a wrestling camp that Bret Hart taught alongside of, I know the Hot Shots helped out with the camp, Cassie Riley and Chase Stevens. They can practice a little bit of everything there.
So what other promotions do you work for?
Right now I'm getting spoiled, so I'm working for about four different promotions. Here in East Tennessee, I help out and a group called KSW out of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and help them out when I'm in town and able to be at their shows. Because of course they work alongside with a lot of the touristy areas up in the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. And then of course Crossfire, I work with GCW in Alabama. I haven't been there in a while, but I'm going to be going back there in late September. And TCW out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, where's the promotion in Alabama? Is that near North Alabama or South Alabama?
You know what? I went to the last time I worked for them, I believe it was outside Birmingham. So I drove down from Nashville to out past Birmingham somewhere.
Okay.
I know I work there. The promoter is Mad Dog Dan Sawyer, and I work with Micah Taylor there a lot.
I noticed when you were working wrestling that you had this thing where you pulled the strap back up to get energy.
Yeah.
And that was something that amused me. I really liked that.
Thank you.
When did you start doing that?
I used to wrestle for a wrestling promoter in the Nashville area. His name's Bert Prentice. Right? And he actually helps And he actually helped book me against Jerry Lawler for the very first time. And I remember I got the idea to do this, and I walked into the locker room with this outfit, you know, and Bert Prentice told me that was the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen. And you know what? So far it works. It works.
Yeah.
It gives me something to work with, you know. I'm not the guy that's – I don't like doing the springboard 450 somersault splash dive into the crowd. I want to be the guy that can wrestle forever and make a lot of money doing this. And there's not a lot of, you know, livelihood in doing a move like that versus I can just pull my strap up and act like I'm mad.
Yeah, I was telling Neil during the show that, you know, when I saw you, I said, I was telling Neil that you had first-rate gear.
Well, the guy that makes my gear and everything, his name's Rich Cavana, and he's the guy that actually started wrestling alongside me. His only difference is I wanted to pursue wrestling as like a career and something, you know, something I can make some money at and, you know, try to break into the business, where he looked at it as something that we just fooled around with when he was in college, and we just have mutual friends, and he started making gear because he wasn't about to start working out and trying to take care of himself. So he makes some really good stuff. He got to work underneath a lot of the guys that were at the time were making gear for a bunch of the TNA stars back when TNA first started. So he has a really good concept of how to colors and everything like that and materials to work with.
So have you ever worked with Matt Hardy before?
No, I have not. I have not. I saw on my Twitter account that MVP was really looking forward to trying to come to Nashville and wrestle me for my belt, too. So, you know what? Right now, it's good to be the king because I'm having all these wrestling stars wanting to come fight the guy that's never been on national TV in his entire life and want to challenge me for my belt. So, obviously, I must be doing something good.
Yeah, I mean, I would admit, you know, I think this is probably going to lead to bigger things because you can ask Neil. I was telling him, you know, on the way back that I figure you're going to be on TV somewhere very soon.
Oh yeah, I'm hoping so. I've been in the car riding, doing shows, and I'm ready for a contract. I'm ready to do something big, and I'm going to go big time because I think professional wrestling needs a shock. I think it needs like a really good swift kick in the pants because I don't think the product of professional wrestling right now, I think it looks like two men out there dancing. I don't think it looks like guys are actually out there trying to fight and win a prize, you know?
Yeah,
and I think that's something that needs to be brought back to professional wrestling, is professional wrestling and guys that are actually out there trying to win something versus two guys out there trying to do a somersault plancha, have a corona, you know, out in the crowd. Who cares?
Yeah, I was telling a friend of mine before I did the interview, I said, well, I got to do the interview in an hour. I think I'm going to make myself hate wrestling by watching Raw.
Yeah, please. Please. I know. I don't think I have watched that in a couple of years. And when I do watch it, it really makes me mad because I grew up, like I said, I grew up watching the good stuff. I like watching Nick Bockwinkel. I like watching the Von Erichs. I like watching the Crockett wrestling. That's the wrestling I grew up watching, you know. I like watching some of the Memphis wrestling, you know, and the stuff that's on TV today and I'm being force-fed. I can understand why wrestling ratings are down.
Yeah, I have me and my nephews, I have them watch a lot of old wrestling. Right now, the three-year-old's favorite wrestler is the Big Boss Man.
The who? Who is it?
Yeah, he loves Big Boss Man and the Million Dollar Man.
Oh, the Big Boss Man? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, he walks around the Million Dollar Belt, and he goes like this. He said, I got money.
See, that's right there. The kids like, I mean, that's entertaining stuff, you know. It's really entertaining.
Yeah,
versus a guy coming out there with kick pads on, and you're like, well, what's this guy going to do? Well, he's going to do more flips just like the last guy did. So instead of being professional wrestling, it looks like men's gymnastics.
All right, man. We're about to end the live stream, but if you'll stay on for a few minutes, we're going to be recording the rest of it.
Oh, man. No problem.
All right, I didn't want you to get called. I didn't want you to end mid-sentence.
No.
But, yeah,
that's
one thing, you know, we're looking at, you know, I look for, you know, with wrestling, you know, and a lot of times it doesn't feel like wrestling anymore.
No,
you know, I was listening to this Raw promo tonight with Paul Heyman, and he said something, you know, Brock Lesnar is a fighter, not an entertainer. And, you know, and I'm just trying to watch the show, and I'm wondering, what the hell is that supposed to even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like insulting to the regular viewers.
It's
insulting to the people
coming
in.
Insulting to the viewer because you're actually watching this. And you're, why are these guys fighting? I mean, what are they doing for this belt? Why does the belt even matter? So that's what's missing, I think, is missing from wrestling. It's two guys telling each other, pretty much cutting promos, telling each other that they're going to go out there and punch each other's teeth down their throat and going out there and it being a big, bloody fiasco. But now they go out there and it looks like a bunch of dancing and stuff, and it just makes no sense to me because I know when I used to see Jackie Fargo wind up and punch somebody, it looked a lot better than what I see today.
Yeah, I was telling somebody, you know, it's a funny thing, you know, because I'll be watching, you know, it's like you'll be watching UFC, and I told somebody, you know, it's funny how even a lot of times you'll see a real punch and a real punch, you know, like when somebody in a street fight or something, it always looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
exactly right.
It's funny, like, y'all remember I was watching MMA fight, I said, that punch looked terrible, and I'm thinking, it actually connected, but it looked terrible.
Yeah. I say what, one of my favorite, another favorite moment of mine is, happened the other night, is I put two and two together with the, Harry Smith grabbed me and put me in the, I had him in an ankle lock, and he reversed to a sharpshooter, and those people went crazy for that.
Oh man, I want my shit.
And the sad thing about that is it was a wrestling move. It wasn't a 450 plancha to the floor, you know. It wasn't a guy getting hit so hard with a chair that the chair seat goes flying to the crowd. And it wasn't anybody getting set on fire. It was a wrestling move. That's what that was. A wrestling move. And the people went crazy for it. So, you know, people want wrestling. They want to see stuff like that. But the problem is they're not being given stuff like that. So.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it, you know, it's like another thing, you know, not going back to TV wrestling, no, but it's like, you know, but I go back to Rolling, you know, they're struggling to fill these three-hour shows. And I'm thinking, why not just do a match?
Exactly.
Just do a wrestling match. I only do 15 minutes.
I did a radio, I know a radio, sorry, I did a comic book convention in Nashville, and we did a meet and greet with the fans, and then they did a little Q&A session with wrestlers, and a wrestling fan asked, you know, about, it actually is with Crossfire, and it's promoting a couple of the upcoming Crossfire shows. I think the next one that they were going to do at the time was promoting the Mick Foley show that they put on. And a wrestling fan raised his hand in the back to ask a question. His question was, how can you change wrestling? And as a fan, how can you change wrestling? And it's very, very simple how you can change wrestling is you just support other wrestling.
I think
Crossfire has a niche right now, and I think it has a market, and I think there's definitely room to blast something like this on a national TV. You know, I think that they have something going here. I'm interested in seeing myself. I can't wait to see what their TV is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good, you know, because a lot of problems when you see people try to do new wrestling on TV, they try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. I think that the wheel was working before. Let's just go back to what was working before and not.
Good, solid wrestling, you know. You tell have one guy say you go to hell, and it's like, yes, why don't you go to hell? You know, have them beat each other up.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's not rocket science, professional wrestling. You know,
so. Yeah, it seems like that's what's happening. It seems like the thing that messed up is when people start overthinking it.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, how definitely the business has changed, and you know, I just think that the what's going on right now is the people want wrestling. They want a product that's not going to be insulting to them or their intelligence. They want something that they can follow, and you know, and they want to do it. They want to watch professionals. You know, I deal with some, you know, a lot of independent companies and stuff like that, and they wonder why their crowd's down and why they can't get sponsors and things like that. And then majority of the time it goes right back to talent. And Crossfire has top-notch talent. And amazing thing, a cool thing about Crossfire now, too, is the word's starting to spread and the influx of guys trying to get in is coming in now. So the talent roster is going to be, you know, improving and stuff like that, too. So, man, things are booming.
Yeah, and the way things were set up, I really, you know, I'm just saying as a fan, you know, I really liked, you know, because you'd have guys you didn't know, but you put on with guys that were known.
Yep.
So when the match went on, you know, the guys that you didn't know, like I saw you wrestle, you know, Harry Smith and him, you know, and I became a fan of yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
because
that was the first time I saw you. So, you know, now if I see your name on a marquee or even if I'm looking for matches on YouTube or something, I'm going to stop and watch it.
Yeah, well, if you want to see a funny one and you want to see how I became the king, just YouTube Shane Williams and Chase Stevens. And there's a picture on there of this is Chase Stevens when he was with the Naturals. Chase is Chase Stevens and Andy Douglas when they're on TNA Wrestling. And then me come out as the king in my nice Party City Halloween costume. Luckily, the wrestling business has been good to me, so my wrestling outfits have improved. So, you know, but you had to start somewhere.
Yeah, I ended up making a like a T-shirt and a sweatpants. You know, it's like I'm not a wrestler, but I appreciate the fashion.
Well, good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I love professional wrestling. I think the reason I love it so much is because I've yet to figure it out. But the more I stick with it, the more I learn. So hopefully this business continues to be good to me.
Yeah, well, I think you've got a good future ahead of you.
Well, thank you very much. When's the next Crossfire show you're going to try to attend?
I'm going to try. Well, I don't know where that McMillanville's at or where.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
It's McMinnville. It's right outside of – it's halfway in between Nashville and Cookeville is what it sits at.
Yeah, I'll probably be heading to the one in November because I went this month, and honestly, the trip up there wiped me out.
Oh, okay. Well, make sure you stop by over there and give me a high five, and hopefully by then I can tell you that I got my wrestling contract and things are getting ready to boom big time with Crossfire. So,
sure thing, man. I don't know if you noticed me. I was a huge fat guy with the Macho Man shirt.
Yeah, I saw you. You can't go wrong with the Macho Man shirt. Macho Man shirt, you know.
I bought that a month before he died.
Oh, you did. I just now got my first Andy Kaufman shirt in that I plan on wearing. As Andy Kaufman standing with his wrestling outfit on, with his hands on his hips, and holding his intergender heavyweight title.
Yeah, you know, I was telling Neil before that I had an idea for a wrestler, you know. I said his name would be Andy Kaufman.
There you go. That's right.
He'd be the resurrected Andy Kaufman.
That's right, yeah. Andy was the man. He was the man. I mean, he's 135 pounds. I think he's 6 foot tall and 135 pounds. But everybody in the Mid-South Coliseum when he wrestled Jerry Lawler or he wrestled any of those women definitely wanted to kill him. So, you know, I'm sure he made a hefty little payday doing that himself.
Yeah, and I mean, it looked like Lawler splattered him on that suplex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially for a guy who probably didn't know how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not doing it professionally.
Well, you know, we're talking about here. We're talking about Jerry Lawler. He also calls himself the king, too, you know.
So have you? You know, I was thinking. You know, they ought to try to bring in Big Daddy V to wrestle you.
Yeah, that would be great. The
you know,
problem
you do this
is
whole thing wrestling the Kings.
Yep. Yep. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, see, the deal of it is the more momentum I pick up and the more steam I pick up, hopefully, the likelihood of this match will happen. So, you know, you can all, you know, the more successful CrossFire gets, of course, the more people are going to want to see that match. And it's going to make Mr. Lawler have to step up and play ball. So
yeah, it'd be a good match. I don't see how it wouldn't be a great match.
No, I think we'd look at it at big numbers that night. And I like to see too. Like I said, I like to see get Jackie Fargo involved, and you know, be able to make it a definitely like a night to remember for anybody that's either a new wrestling fan or an old school wrestling fan. You know, I think that'd be definitely a great event. Hopefully, CrossFire will end up doing.
Yeah, hopefully they can do it sooner or later, because I get the feeling the way CrossFire's going, it's going to become one of those promotions they want WWE won't let Lawler go to.
Yeah. So, you know, with that national TV deal, if they land a national TV deal, you know, the likelihood of me against Lawler probably won't really happen because of contracts and TV appearances and stuff like that. So you know, either way, I'm the king. And he's the king that carries a plastic crown. So, whatever.
All right, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You're the first one
to
guest I've been able to get.
I like doing this stuff, and I talk wrestling all day long. So, I'm not kidding you. I used to just call my friends up and we'd talk wrestling. But now, when it depends on whether you pay your rent or pay your bills and keep the lights on and keep food in your mouth, you talk wrestling 24/7. Even on the days when you're trying to be off. So, anyways, thanks for having me on the show, and I'd love to come back.
No, that's no problem, man. Actually, last wrestler I interviewed was Dan Severn back in 2009.
Oh, really? I'm sure that was a real cool dude. Interview.
Yeah, he was a real cool dude. I'm afraid that's come to my 4 touchdowns in a single game.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, but thanks a lot for appearing on the show. And if you want to, you know, tell any other wrestlers, you know, I don't care who they are, if they ever want to appear on the show, just let me know, because I'm glad to give them any help they need, you know, getting their name out or just helping me out.
All right, man. I'll do it. No problem. Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
That's it.
All right, man. You have a good night.